Hey creators, welcome to another episode of the Creator Project Podcast. I'm your host Jade Beeson and I'm getting super personal in today's episode because I'm going to talk to you about my full story from working full-time 9-to-5 job to becoming a six-figure content creator and entrepreneur. It's interesting because this is the type of content that I love to listen to on other podcasts. Like I love when people tell me their whole story. I'm not going to tell you my complete life story. I'm just going to tell you the stuff in the context of what I do now, like my business and content creation. But when I sat down to record this, I was a bit like, oh, do people care? And it's a mindset thing that I struggle with sometimes. And I think anyone else who creates similar content to mine, where it's quite educational focused, probably experienced the same thing, where I'm so used to talking about kind of concepts and theories and strategies and only talking about myself in relation to those things. So only talking about myself when I'm giving you examples of something that I'm trying to teach, that sometimes when I sit down to film content that is completely focused on myself and my story, I get in my head a bit and I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like people care. So if you do care after listening to this, and please let me know. And if you didn't, I mean, I was going to say, let me know, but maybe that will hurt my feelings. No, let me know. I'm a big girl. I can handle it. All right. So as I mentioned, I'm going to talk to you about my story today. I've actually tried to do this before on this podcast. This was supposed to be the first ever episode that I was going to upload. It was supposed to be about my story. And I recorded it like 3 times, may I add, because it was my first time recording a podcast episode. The mic wasn't plugged in the first time. The second time it was plugged in properly, but my audio setting wasn't on the mic, it was on my laptop. And then I recorded it again the third time with the mic working. And then I decided not to upload it. So that's like 3 hours of my life that I'll never get back, but whatever. But I'm excited to talk about it today because things have changed a lot since I first started the podcast. So now I can bring you completely up to date. So I want to start at the beginning, but before I do, I do want to give a quick overview as to where I am now so that you can understand why this story might be an interesting one, especially if you're new to the Creator Project or if you're new to my personal content as well. So I'm Jade. Hi, so lovely to meet you. I am the founder of the Creator Project and I'm also a content creator in my own right. I identify as a content creator, but I am also a business owner and an entrepreneur. The business that I built through content creation makes multiple six figures every single year, and I've accumulated a total combined audience of over 200,000 creators and entrepreneurs. Now, my journey hasn't been a long one. I actually started this entire business 3 years ago, and within 6 months of me uploading my very first YouTube channel, I quit my job and became a full-time content creator, and within a year of that, I was making six figures. So things moved really quickly for me, and I always say that there's a big reason why that happened, and the reason was because of everything that happened before I became a content creator. So let's go back to my origin story. So let's start with like secondary school times. I was an average, maybe like a slightly above average student. I guess it depends on how you define an average student, but I was the kind of person who would get a lot of B's. A couple C's, but like I'd get a lot of B's. Like for example, my GCSEs, I think I got like 8 B's and 4 C's or something and 1 A. To me, that's like an average, slightly above average student. I'm smiling to myself now because I've just remembered that that's not even how they grade GCSEs now. I think it's like numbers now. And you know, like when your parents say something to do with their education and they use some kind of terminology that you're like, oh my God, you're so old, as if you did like O levels or whatever they used to be called. And you just think, my God, you're so old. I realize that I am now in that generation where young people would hear me talk about my GCSE grades and use letters and they would be like, oh my God, I can't believe you used to get graded by letters. You're so old. Do you know what I mean? Life's funny sometimes. But yeah, those are the grades that I used to get. I wasn't necessarily a massively hardworking student or person, if I'm being honest. I did a lot of extracurricular. I did like trampolining, I did dance, and I was good at dance, but I never tried as hard as I possibly could at dance. And it was the same with pretty much everything. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was always giving just enough effort. I wasn't trying really hard. I don't think I even fully understood what it meant to try really hard at something. Like, I don't think I realized that I wasn't trying hard. And that massively changed when I got to my A levels, which is basically the like more advanced exams that you take after your GCSEs before you go to university. And there's two different years of them. And I remember in my first year, I just carried on coasting, not like trying hard, but not trying that hard. And I remember I got a D in my history exam, and I had never really gotten anything below a C before. And I freaked out because you need certain A-level grades to get into certain universities. And whilst I wasn't aiming for like the Oxford or the Cambridge universities of the world, I still knew that I had to get a better grade than a D if I wanted to get into like the unis I wanted to go to, right? So I was like, oh crap. I was like, oh shit. I don't usually swear on this, so apologies if that offends you, but I was like, oh, I need to do something, like I need to try a lot harder. So that kind of kicked me into gear. And in my second year of my A-levels, it was honestly the first time I ever tried really, 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 really hard at something. It was the first time I was ever like, I am giving my all to this. Like, I am dedicating myself specifically to that exam. I was still a teenager, so I still didn't think maybe I should do this for every exam. I just did it for the one. And I need to make it really clear that I'm not saying I was the type of student who coasted through everything and I didn't have to study. Like, I was so envious of people like that. I definitely had to study and I definitely had to work. I'm just saying that I definitely wasn't trying as hard as I possibly could have until I got to the second year of my A-levels. The result and the reason for this story, because it literally changed the trajectory of my life, the result of this A-level, right? The result was that I got my history A-level back and I had gotten my score for that exam. It was a written history essay exam, second year of my A-levels, 240 points out of 240 points. I had a perfect score. It still like gives me chills. Like, and you might be listening to this thinking, oh my God, who cares? And fair enough, but I can't tell you how significant of a event this was for my entire life. Like, if that had not happened to me, I honestly would not be where I am today. That score, it was the first time anyone at my school had ever received a 100% score on their history exam. They then went on to use my exam paper to teach other classes. Let's remember, I got a D the year before that. I was not the star student. Like, you should have seen my history teachers, which, I mean, shout out Mrs. Close. I think she's changed her name now, and Mrs. Cowap, because you two were the G's. But you should have seen their faces when I was opening my results letter. They were both staring at me and I was thinking, why are they looking at me? And they were literally like giddy, couldn't wait for me to figure it out. Like, it was a really big deal for me. I wasn't known as the really smart student, like that wasn't me. So it was a really big deal. What that basically taught me and why that had such an impact on me is because it was the first time in my life that I realized that I could actually learn anything. There's this concept around the fixed mindset and a growth mindset. I didn't know what it was at the time, but it's essentially this idea that some people have a fixed mindset where they believe you're born at a certain level of intelligence or with certain gifts and you can't change that. Whilst people with a growth mindset believe that everything can be changed, that anyone can learn a certain subject, that anyone is able to achieve certain things. And that day was the day when I went from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. It was like a switch in my head. I suddenly was like, wait, I actually can do so much more than what I'm doing. If I put effort into stuff, I can actually achieve so much more, you know? So it was a big deal for me. And as you can tell, I'm reflecting on it now. And I was, 18 at the time? That was like, 13 years ago? And it still hits me in a certain way. And it still is, honestly, the most pivotal moment of my life. So anyway, that happened. I went off to university, got the grades I wanted, thankfully, because of that grade. It really brings up the rest of your grades when you get 100%. I went off to university. I went to Nottingham Trent, had the best 4 years of my life. I did a placement year, so I worked for one of those years. I had the best 4 years of my life. I carried that lesson through to me in university. And suddenly I went from someone who was like average student, didn't think that they were actually naturally smart, to someone who was like massively overachiever. So I got a first in my degree. I was on the committee for my dance team. And then I was president my final year. We won committee of the year. So like I walked out, again, these are all trivial things that don't mean a lot to people, but for me, it was really like adding to this new type of person that I had become. I walked out from university being like, oh my God, look at what can happen when you try really hard at stuff. You know, I suddenly had so much more faith and confidence in myself and my abilities than I had ever had before. And I carried that with me genuinely for the rest of my life. Hey creators, do you have any burning questions which you really want answered? For example, are you unsure on how to increase your engagement on Instagram? Or maybe you're debating whether to start a membership? Or perhaps you're confused as to which camera you should buy next or what microphone you need to start your podcast. Well, you are in luck because we have the answers. Every Tuesday, we invite you to submit your questions over on our Instagram at thecreatorproject_. Do not forget the underscore. We select one question to answer every single week and we provide detailed answers to that question in our email newsletter. So make sure you follow us on Instagram and submit your questions, and you also sign up to our newsletter to make sure you see the answers. Links to both our Instagram and our newsletter are available in the show notes. So that brings us to work life. So now we're talking about young Jade. She's an adult. She's in the big city, London, which is actually where I'm from as well. So I'm literally born and raised in London. And I started working. So immediately got a job in advertising. It was actually ad tech. And anyone who's familiar with that, like, oh, it's called ad ops. But anyone who's familiar with that will be like, so surprised that that was my first job, because it's very like tech heavy. I was basically coding. It's not something that I was naturally interested in. I'm very grateful for it. It taught me a lot, but it wasn't for me anyway. Regardless, I started working in advertising and marketing. I switched jobs every year for about 4 years. I was relentless. I could not be tamed. The second I felt like I understood how to do a job, I was ready to move. I was like, I feel like I've learned some stuff now, so I'm ready to move on. And that usually was about 6 months in. So the first 6 months of a job I would really enjoy because it'd be new people, new things. I would learn loads. And then after about 6 months, I'd be like, okay, I feel like I understand how to do this now. So what's next? Like, let's move on. I will say that I'm so glad that I did that. It was stressful, I'm not gonna lie. Like, constantly switching jobs it's so stressful. I remember I used to get stress headaches for the first like 3 months of any new job because I was thinking so hard, like trying to remember people's names, trying to remember how to use the different systems, trying to remember where my desk was. And that's not even counting the fact that it's literally a different job every time. So it's stressful. But doing that when you're young, in my opinion, is a great thing to do. Not only does it mean that you end up earning more money, because every time you switch jobs, you get an increase, and it's almost always significantly more than the increase you would have got if you stayed at one job and just got promoted. So that's one reason. But also, even though it's stressful, it really does force your brain to work at another level. When you stay at a job for a long time, you can get quite comfortable. And whilst that's not a bad thing, and it was something that I really enjoyed having later on in my career, I do feel really thankful that I didn't really have that much in the early days, because I learned so much, and it definitely made me better at what I did. So yeah, I switch jobs like I switch. What's something that I switch very often? I can't think of anything. Clearly I don't switch anything in my life. Anyway, so I switched jobs pretty often, and that was all the way up until my last full-time job, which was at a partnerships agency that I absolutely loved. And I stayed there for like 3.5 years, and I only left to create this business. So whilst I was working all of those jobs, I was also trying to start my own business on the side. I have always wanted to be a business owner since I don't even know when I had the moment when I realized I wanted to be one, but I just know I've always wanted to be one. So I would have all of these businesses running on the side, literally from the second I got out of university. I had a clothing boutique, I had a candle brand, I had a print company where you'd like print graphics for like home decor. I had a swimwear boutique, I had a bag boutique. I had a lot of stuff, guys. I struggled with it. I made so many mistakes. I learned so many lessons. I talk about this a lot in my early video content on my YouTube channel, in case you're curious. But yeah, I made some major mistakes. I was young. I was a bit fickle. I was sensitive. I did not have much money. So when I invested money into it, it just hurt that much more. I once took out a business loan this was for my candle brand. I took out a business loan. It was for £5,000, which took me about 3 or 4 years to pay off. And I spent almost all of it on a trade show, which, I mean, I did get some wholesale clients from it, but in no way did I make profit. The biggest mistake I made, especially in those early businesses, I did get my act together for the last couple of businesses, but the early ones, the biggest mistake I made was that I did not merge what I knew about marketing and advertising with my businesses. And this is a common thing that a lot of us do. I've spoken to so many creators who work in like creative industries or the marketing industry, and they always say to me, they're like, I don't know what it is, but I just struggle so much to merge the two things together. If that is you, I get you, I hear you. And if I'm being completely transparent, I think the only reason why I was finally able to merge those two things together and why it finally clicked for me is because of the big thing that happened in 2020. Don't really want to say its name. Creators never say the name of what happened. So I think I'm just copying them because I don't know. In my head, I think like, am I going to get penalized if I say the word? But we all know what happened in 2020. As a result of what happened, I was put on furlough for a while. That, in addition to the fact that suddenly we were all at home and home was where I used to run my businesses. And now I'm also either on furlough or working from home from my 9 to 5, it just forced everything to merge. Like suddenly all aspects of my life were merged together because everything was happening in my one bedroom flat. And that was the thing that kicked me into gear and made me realize, hold on a minute, I know how to market a product. Like I can do this. I need to just approach things differently. But unfortunately, it took me a while to get there. So me spending almost £5,000 on a trade show is such a great example of that because I know nothing about trade show marketing. Why did I do that? I know nothing about it. Like I've never, ever attended a trade show before then. But I thought that was the thing to spend money on, not to spend money on my social media marketing, not to spend money on my content creation, the stuff that I knew. Instead, I spent it on a trade show, which is so stupid. Anyway, so that's what I was doing from the ages of like 21 to, I don't know, maybe that's like 27, 28. And then around that time, 27, 28, when, you know, the big thing was happening in 2020 and everyone's lives were just going through tremendous change, I started to see success with my businesses because I had that moment where I was like, wait a minute, let me just use what I already know about marketing to actually sell these products. And that was a big turning point for me. And I was starting to get, at the time I had a bag boutique and a swim boutique. Swim boutique was a terrible thing to start in that year because obviously no one was traveling, but I didn't know that was going to happen at the time. But they were starting to do well. I was starting to get sales. Things were working. I was getting quite good sales actually. And it was in November 2020 when I made the decision to start my YouTube channel. So we're now entering my YouTube era. And this is really when things begun. So as I mentioned before, all those experiences that I just mentioned, the pivotal moment that I had at school and then the successes, I guess we'd call them, definitely successes on paper that I experienced when I was at uni. And then all the kind of mistakes and the learnings that I had when I was starting my businesses whilst working full time, all the different jobs that I had that forced me to understand the industry on such a deeper level because I was switching and changing my role all the time. All of those things have now led me to this point, right? They've all led me to November 2020. I didn't realize it at the time, but hindsight is always 2020. But all of those things had led me to this point. So it's November 2020. My now husband messages me, right? He messages me to say, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. He's really into property. And I was like, what? He's like, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. And I was like, are you sure? Like YouTube channels are so difficult to start. I had the classic way of thinking that a lot of us do when we're first starting out, where we put up these barriers to stop us from starting something because it makes it easier for us to be in our comfort zone. They're basically excuses. So prior to this exchange with my now husband, I had spent a lot of time on YouTube watching other creators who were further along in their journeys than I was. And I loved it. I loved watching those YouTubers. And there were several occasions where I thought, I definitely have some value to add here. There were several occasions where I felt that, especially when it came to the diversity and representation that was lacking at the time on YouTube, especially when it came to my niche. Like there really weren't many creators who looked like me being a Black woman or who sounded like me being from England talking about social media and entrepreneurship at the time, right? So there were several occasions where I thought I should do this. I should get on YouTube. I reckon I can teach a few things. But I didn't do it because I put up all those barriers in my mind telling me that it was too difficult of a thing to do. So let's go back to this interaction I had with my husband. He said to me he's going to start a YouTube channel. I'm like, you are crazy. That is such a difficult thing to do. But sure, go for it. I support you. Whatever. Within 2 days, guys, 2 days, he had started his channel. He had his first video up. I was gobsmacked. I was like, how have you done this? How have you done this? In my head, I was like, it's going to take months. I was like, you're going to need to get a camera. You're going to need to learn how to edit. You're going to need to do all this stuff. And all he did was use his phone. He had an iPhone, like at the time it would have been like, I don't know, 13 or 12 or something. And he used iMovie on his iPhone to edit and uploaded it. And he was off to the races, as they say. And I could not believe it. I was so surprised. And that kicked me into gear. I was like, okay, great. I'm doing it too. If you can do it, I can do it. I'm going to do it too. And I set up my studio. I used my old phone to film. I had like my 40-pound ring light. I didn't have a microphone. I didn't look at the lens when I spoke. And my very first video is actually the trailer to my YouTube channel. So you can go and watch it right now. It's the one where I talk about how I started multiple side hustles whilst I had a full-time job. So specific to that time. I really need to change that trailer because like I don't work full time and I don't have majority of those side hustles anymore. But anyway, I just got going. I was off to the races. Now, what happened over the next 6 months were pretty substantial. I went back to work, so I wasn't on furlough anymore, and I got promoted to account director, and I was working really closely with the company CEO, which was huge for me because I really, really admire her. So that was amazing. But at the same time, things were taking off for my YouTube channel and now my business. Within like a month of me uploading content, I realized that I wanted to make this into a business. Even though I was literally getting about 20 views per video at the time, I was like, nope, I'm going to make this a business. So I immediately started working on my first product. I created a digital ebook, which was all about the influencing industry. And I utilized everything I knew from working within the industry on the other side to create this ebook, right? I literally launched it when I had a couple hundred people in my audience. Like I was not waiting around. I started to build my email list pretty early on as well. I started to create products and services based on what people were asking for. People asked for coaching sessions. I created coaching sessions. People would ask for audits. I would create audits, right? I let my audience guide me. And as my content improved and as I started to grow my audience, that became easier. I hit my first 1,000 subscribers in April. So this was literally, was this 6 months? It was like about 6 months, almost 6 months after my first ever video. Within a month of that, I was on like 10,000. Like it snowballed. It happened really, really quickly. And that was because I had a good bank of content on my YouTube channel so that when I hit the algorithm with that one video and people started to watch that video, they actually started to binge my other content too. And that is what helped me convert them into subscribers. And that's what helped me start to grow. So because I'd started my email list, I had started to offer products and services whilst I'm growing. So this is all things I launched to like crickets, no audience. But then when my audience grew, I had all these things that people could buy. I started to earn money from it and pretty quickly as well. And I also got monetized on YouTube. And my first paycheck on YouTube was like £1,500, which is insane for your first paycheck. Like that's insane. So suddenly I was like, hold on a minute. I'm making like £5,000 a month here within literal months of my first video. Well, let's say within like the first 5 to 6 months, I started to make £5,000. And I made the very wild decision to quit my job about 7 months after my first YouTube video. So at this point, I'm in between 1,000 and 10,000 subscribers. I am making money from it though. And I'm like, no, this has legs. I'm going to quit. You'll probably listen to that thinking, what? When I reflect back on it, it seems so wild to me, but I had such faith in what I was doing. And I had such faith that if I had more time for it, it would grow even more. Also, I knew that I would have to quit something because offering these products, offering these services, having this YouTube channel, and then having my job, which I'd just been promoted, so the job was harder, was almost impossible. I was really, really struggling and I was burning out. So I made the decision to quit my job. And also keep in mind that I had a 2 month notice period, which is quite common in the UK, especially like when you're a certain level, like when you're more junior, it's usually like a month. And then as you become more senior, it gets a bit longer. So I had, I think it was 2 months. Was it 2 months or 3 months? I think it was 2 months notice period. So I was like, you know, I'm going to put in my notice now because I still need to work another 2 months. So I did that. And then I had my last ever day in my full-time job on the 13th of August. I will also flag just for anyone who's thinking, oh my God, maybe now is the right time for you to quit your job because I quit so early. Two big things that I considered was financially, does this make sense? I had paid off all of my debt. So that loan that I spoke about, I'd paid it off. I had paid off my credit card debt. Obviously, I hadn't paid off like my student loan or my mortgage, but I'd paid all of that debt off and I had saved an emergency fund. So those are key things for you to consider as well. But in addition to that, I had spent 8 years working in the industry, right? And I'd also worked myself up to an account director position. What that meant for me was that if this did not work, if I got a year into me becoming a full-time content creator and I was like, the income's not stable, this wasn't a long-term thing, this doesn't work, I knew that my job prospects were decent. By no means did I assume it'd be easy for me to get another job, but I knew that I could get one eventually. Like, I had the experience that I needed to get a job and get a decent one at that, right? And that's a huge benefit of starting content creation a bit later in your career, because I have all of that. And even now I think about that, like, we're about to buy a house, and when we calculated what we could afford, we actually based it back on what I would get paid if I had to get a full-time job, because that to me is like, not worst case scenario, but you know, if my business fails, that's what I have to fall back on. I need to go and get a job in my industry. So we based what we could afford based on what that job would be. And it's just such a great level of comfort that I'm really, really grateful for. So anyway, I reviewed those things. I quit my job. I went at it full time, August 13th, my last day of work. By the end of August, I had doubled my income from my business because I had so much more time to work on it. And I was like, yeah, this was the right idea. This was the right thing to do. By October, November time, I was easily clearing £10,000 month for my business. And that is when I went into my business era. So we're moving on to my business era now, where I'm getting my business hat on. Because the next couple of years after that were pretty smooth sailing. I think a big reason for that was also the time that I was doing this. Like, during those years, we're riding off the back of that huge thing that happened in 2020. A lot of people are realizing that they want a side hustle, that maybe their job isn't as secure as they thought. So the interest in the stuff that I teach was definitely peaking during those years, and that definitely helped. But in addition to that, you guys, my audience, were telling me what you wanted from me, and I was creating content and creating products based off that. And that was a great business model for me. And I was able just to scale and continue increasing my income based on that model. And that is definitely something that I recommend for you guys too. But let's talk about where I am now, because things have changed. I made the decision early last year that I was going to phase out a lot of the products and services that I had created up until that point. So my coaching, my courses, my group programs, all of that stuff, I was phasing out. And there's so many reasons why I wanted to do that. I just realized mainly that I didn't want to identify as a coach anymore. I wanted to step into like my CEO kind of era, like my CEO vibe. And for me, what that means, it means different things for everyone, but for me, what that means is having a business that doesn't rely on me showing up. And that business for me is the Creator Project. So obviously you're listening to the Creator Project podcast, but this is just one element of the Creator Project. We also host live events. We have a newsletter. We're on other social media channels. We work with brands. But what we also have is a membership. Now, it feels really weird talking about this because at the time of recording, we have not launched this yet. So it feels like I'm breaking one of my own rules because it's supposed to be a secret. But we do have a membership, and we have a mobile app that we have created for content creators. So it's designed to help you guys learn how to thrive online through masterclasses, resources, live events, brand partnership opportunities, community boards, and so much more. So I'll put a link to that below in case you want to check it out. You can actually get a 7-day free trial just to see if the membership is for you. So the Creator Project is really the thing that I'm focusing on at the moment. The beauty of building a personal brand first, and the reason why I recommend that other creators build a personal brand first, is because not only did I have income from my personal brand, so when I work with brands or for my YouTube revenue and stuff like that, not only did I have that income to fall back on, which allowed me to phase out all the things that I didn't want to do anymore and just dedicate time to building a business that I wanted to run in the future, because that is a huge privilege to be able to do that, to just be like, okay, well, I'm not going to earn income from these things anymore. You know, that part of my business that made up 50% of my income, I'm just going to turn it off. Like, that's a really big privileged thing to be able to do. So I'm very fortunate for that. But the reason why I was able to do that was because I'd built up the personal brand. So I was able to sustain the business for those months where I was working on this other project, right? But in addition to that, it gives you an audience. Like, when you focus on building a personal brand, which a lot of people find easier to build because you're showing your face, and sometimes it's easier to build an audience when there's a face there. You've got that audience that hopefully support you and will migrate to this secondary brand that you create. So that's what's happening right now with the Creator Project. And the beauty of it is that one day it won't need me to run. Whether or not I'm ever going to get to the point where I actually will step back from it, I don't know. because I do like running it. I just know for this next season of life that I'm in, I'm 31 years old, I've just gotten married, I would love to have a family one day. I just know for that season of life, I need to have a business that can run without me. And what I had built up until last year was not that. I needed to show up regularly online. Everything hinged on me having a camera in front of my face. And again, I'm happy to do that for now, but I just know it's not something I'm going to want to do forever. So that's where I am right now. That brings me up to where I am today. The business is doing really well. It makes multiple six figures every single year. I have a full-time employee. I have freelancers as well. And I'm the most content and fulfilled I have ever felt in my career. And I actually get a little bit, can you hear my voice is wobbling? Put it together, Jade. I get a bit emotional when I reflect on it so much because I am just so grateful for my current reality when it comes to my business. As I said, I had been trying to start businesses for so long. Sometimes people can look at where you're at now and just think, oh my God, how lucky is that person? You know, but I'm here to tell you that there was multiple years, about 8 years of me starting businesses and losing a lot of sleep and money and tears, so many tears. Oh my God, I sometimes think about Jamie and I'm like, God, I'm not only am I happy that things worked out and where we're at now, but like he must be so relieved because the amount of times I would just cry all evening to him about how badly I wanted to be where I am today. So I'm just so grateful for it. And I'm grateful for you guys for basically allowing this to happen, for watching my content, for downloading these episodes, for supporting the different things that I do, whether that's financially or just by sending me your good vibes. I really don't mind. Both massively help. And I'm incredibly grateful for it. So that's where I am today. That is the end of my incredibly self-indulgent episode. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. I'll definitely upload an updated one in a couple of years' time so you can hear how things turned out. Guys, thank you so much for listening and staying until the end. I feel so much closer to you now. I feel like you really get me and that is amazing. And I'm so grateful for that. And yeah, I can't wait to speak with you again in my next episode. Bye. You've just listened to an episode of The Creator Project. We upload new episodes every single week. So if you've not hit that subscribe or follow button yet, then what are you doing? Be sure to hit subscribe or follow before you leave so that you don't miss out on our new content. If you feel like supporting our podcast, we would absolutely love it if you could leave us a review and share our podcast with someone else who might get value from it. Don't forget to hit us up on our socials. Links can be found in the show notes. Thanks again. We'll speak soon.